Okay, so getting back to the pasuk, Moshe said to Aaron, "Draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and for the people." Basically, Moshe said to Aaron, "Time to do your job. You're the Kohen. You're in charge. Start doing your job." And the Ramban is and other commentaries too are wondering. Well, let's see. Let's ask you folks. What do you think is the fundamental question that the commentaries ask on this pasuk? Anyone want to take a stab at it?
What are they atoning for?
What are they atoning for? Okay, that's not the question we're going to deal with, but that's a good question.
It seems like he's saying, right, offer your offering, make atonement for yourself and the people, which sounds like that's all one thing. And then it says, and then offer the offering for the people and make atonement for them. So why are two things making atonement for the people?
Okay, also good question. But we're the question that we're going to deal with is much simpler.
Okay.
Much simpler than that. And that is, why does Moshe need to urge Aaron to do his job? Right? Come on, Aaron. It's like you're waking your kid up to go to school in the morning. Let's go. Get out of bed. You know, the bus is going to be here. You got to get to, you know, it's Aaron knew that it was his job. Why the need for specific encouragement on Moshe's part? That's what Rashi is bothered by, and that's what the Ramban is bothered by. I'll just show you Rashi over here. You see, everyone see my cursor where Rashi is? Karav el mizbeach sheya Aaron bosh v'yare lageshet. Aaron was diffident and feared to go there. Amar lo Moshe ma'ata bosh l'chon nivcharta. Moshe said, why are you nervous? Right? This is, you were chosen for this. You were, this is your job. You were selected to do this avodah in the Mishkan. So that's Rashi's problem. And by the way, that is Ramban's problem as well. Let's get to the Ramban. I have the Ramban here. What I'm going to do is what I did earlier in a class. See what the best way, I want to be able to see the Ramban in Hebrew and in English. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share this, once again, I'll share the document with you in the chat. So if you want to open it up and look at the English while I'm reading the Hebrew, because it's hard to get it all on one page. But if you open it up yourself, you'll be able to do that. So let me just share it with you, and then we'll go back to sharing the document. Okay, so in the chat, I share the document. You could open it up yourself, but I'm also going to share my screen so that everyone can look at it together if you so desire. All right, so now let's see the Ramban. Says the Ramban, this is a really, really neat insight into Aaron's life. We're getting a real window into Aaron's personality. The Tan Kirav El HaMizbeach. The Ramban offers two interpretations here of this pasuk. The first one is pretty straightforward. The Tan Kirav El HaMizbeach. Again, if you want to follow the English, it's just open up the document yourself. V'tam karav al mizbeach. Why does Moshe have to encourage Aaron to come near the altar? Al dati b'derech hapshat. This is my opinion, the simple, plain, most straightforward way of explaining this need is al dati b'derech hapshat yomar karav el tzifon hamizbeach v'yasei sham achatat va'ola. Moshe was giving him instructions. He's giving him instructions that he should come to the altar, the north side of the Mizbeach, and perform the Avodah on the north side of the Mizbeach. And because that's where the slaughter of these karbanot had to be. So Moshe, in fact, was not encouraging Aaron here at all to do the avodah. He was simply reminding him of the way to do the avodah. So according to this first interpretation, the Ramban and Rashi are in a machloket. They disagree with each other. Rashi says that for some reason, doesn't explain why, for some reason Aaron was hesitant to do the avodah, and Moshe has to give him a little bit of a push. And according to the Ramban, he wasn't hesitant at all. He was Moshe was simply reminding Aaron of what to do. Okay, that's the first explanation. It does not explain why it is that he would need to be reminded of these of the rules. In fact, the Ramban himself says that Aaron already knew the rules, so it's unclear why Moshe would have to tell him at all. But that is the Ramban's first view. Okay, now let's get to the Ramban's second view. Aval, he says, "B'Torat Kohanim," he quotes the Midrash, "Mitoreru Rabotenu Bazeh." The rabbis in the Midrash, they called attention to this unnecessary command, like we said. Umashlo mashal, lemaha davar dome, lemelech basar vadam shenasa isha vaita mitbayeshet milfanav, to a king who married a woman, maybe she wasn't from royalty, and therefore she was embarrassed before him. Nichnesa etzla achota, and so I guess if she was embarrassed before him, and maybe she wouldn't, she wouldn't speak up, or she was shy, whatever the case may be. She was the wife, she was the queen, and she was embarrassed before her husband. Nichnasa Eitzla Achota, her sister comes before her, right? Here it's Moshe, who's the brother, so the sibling. The sister comes before her and says, Amra la Achoti, lama nichnast l'davarze? Why did you agree to enter into this marriage to begin with? Lo shetish mishiyat hamelech, isn't it so that you could... isn't it so that you would serve the king? Now, by the way, Tishmashi is translated as in the English as serve the king, but Tishmashi could also mean to sleep with the king. That's a rabbinic way of saying it. So maybe she was just embarrassed in front of him. Higisi datech uvoi shimshiat hamelech. The sister said, "It's time for you to, it's time for you to embolden yourself and go before the king." Kach amar lo Moshe la'aron. So said Moshe to Aaron. Aaron achi, Aaron my brother, lama lemanevcharta liyot kohen gadol. Why did you agree, right? Or why were you chosen? Didn't really agree. Why were you chosen to be the kohen gadol? Lo shetisharet with me'al makom. Wasn't it to serve God? Hagastatcha uvo va'avod avodatecha. Embolden yourself and go do your work. So here, according to the Ramban, Aaron was somehow embarrassed. Maybe he didn't feel worthy to do the avoda. He was hesitant to accept upon himself the mantle of the kahuna, the mantle of being the Kohen Gadol. And so Moshe had to encourage him. So it's nice. It speaks to Aaron's humility. It speaks to a brotherly relationship between Aaron and Moshe, that Moshe sort of understood Aaron and had a sense of what he was feeling, knew him well enough to understand that, and in fact encouraged him to take up the role that he was chosen for. Carol, you unmuted yourself. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, couldn't it also be, when you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, somebody stands there and reminds him what he's blowing. You'd think after all the preparation, he knows it.
Right.
But we still don't assume that.
Okay, great. So that would go to the first answer, meaning why Moshe had to remind him at all. Correct. Now, there's something else here also. What I thought you were saying is a general approach that someone doesn't, let's say, go lead services until they're asked. But it's not the case that Moshe did this every day. It seems like this was a one-shot deal where an Aaron was hesitant, and then Moshe gave him a little kick in the pants, and then he went ahead and did what he was supposed to do. But that's the second interpretation. So the first interpretation is that he was not hesitant. Aaron was not hesitant at all. Moshe was simply reminding him of what to do in shorthand. The second interpretation is that he was hesitant, but the Ramban doesn't say why he was hesitant. Now the Ramban tells us the second thing the rabbis say in Torah Kohanim, and this is amazing because it tells us why Aaron was hesitant. So anyone want to take a guess, unless you read ahead? Why do you think Aaron would be hesitant to do the Avoda, to serve God as the Kohen Gadol? Emily, your eyes are wide. Do you know the answer, or did you read ahead? And so you're
The parsha several times this week already, so I'm pretty sure I know.
Okay. All right. Anyone want to take a stab at it? Emily, you want to give us your thoughts, your idea?
Because his sons just died, or I don't remember if this is before or after.
Ah, okay. I think this is before. Okay. This is before. But one could argue, Ein Mukdam Mukharan. Yeah, this is before. This happens before that. But you can make the argument that maybe there's no Mukdam Mukhar in the Torah. Maybe it happened before. Okay. So Emily's suggesting that he just didn't want to do the Avodah because his sons had just died. Okay. That is a. That would
you
be,
also
that
say like he was aware that messing things up could lead to something like that.
Ah, okay. So it's foreshadowing. That's really cool, right? Meaning the sons do something, unclear what. The brothers do something and they die, his sons, and they die for it. And so maybe Aaron knew just how particular God was in this regard and therefore didn't want to do it. And Moshe says, hey, my friend, sorry, you know, if you're a fireman, you got to go into the fire. That's the way it goes. Okay, that's a great answer, Emily. That's not the Ramban's answer, so put that in your commentary when you write it, because it's an excellent answer. But the Ramban says this. Let's read the Ramban. Let me get my cursor there. Says the Ramban. Let me highlight the beginning of it so everyone knows where I am. V'yesh omrim haya ro'eh et ha-mizbeach kitavnit. Sure. Aaron saw the Mizbeach. He saw the altar, right? Let me just make sure I'm going to translate this properly. He saw the altar in the likeness of an ox. The altar appeared to him like an ox. So some of the commentaries say that it means because the altar had sort of horns, like sections on the edges that popped up, and it appeared in Aaron's like horns on the four corners of the altar. The Hayam Mityaremi met it, and these horns scared him. Now, why did these horns scare him? Nichnas Moshe Itzlo Amar Lo Aaron Achi Lo Tira Mima She'ata Mityarei. Moshe says to him, do not be afraid of that which you are currently afraid of. Hages datcha uva kirav ilav. Embolden yourself and go do the work. Hages datcha uva kirav ilav. Lekach amar kirav ilav zbeach meyekrav ilav zbeach bizrizut. And that's why the next pasuk says that Moshe's encouragement worked. And he went ahead and he quickly did the avodah. But we still don't understand why Aaron was afraid, right? What did he see in his mind's eye that scared him? And here goes the Ramban. The Tam Davarze, the reason for Aaron being afraid. Ki ba'avur shehaya Aaron kidosh Hashem ve'ein benafsho chet zulati ma'aseh ha'egel. Aaron was holy to God. And the only sin he had was his participation and responsibility for the chet ha'egel, the sin of the golden calf, hence his fear of the horns. He could not stop thinking about this sin. The pasuk in Tehillim that David HaMelech says, my sin is before me always. And it appeared to him as though the image of this calf was there, which prevented his act of atonement from being effective. I'm not going to be an effective agent on behalf of the Jewish people because I have this sin that's hanging over my head and God is going to reject me. So therefore his brother Moshe says, buck up, embolden yourself. Shelo yeyesh shafel ruach kol kach. Do not be so depressed. Do not be of such low spirits. Shekvar ratza Elohim et ma'asav. God has already found favor with your deeds. God has already forgiven you. This is really something, right? Aaron cannot get past his participation and responsibility for the sin of the golden calf. And therefore he says, I'm not going to be a good shaliach tzibur. I'm not going to be a good emissary for the people. I can't get atonement for myself. I certainly am not going to be able to get atonement for anybody else. Get somebody else to do it. Right? And Moshe says, no, God has forgiven you. That's what happens. You do tshuva, God forgives you. So this is just an incredible insight into Aaron's mindset and into the mindset on the one hand, of a great person. And a great person always keeps their shortcomings on the forefront of their mind. But it also teaches us something about how to move on, right? That sometimes sin, misdeeds, mistakes, they can paralyze us. And here, Moshe says, don't let it paralyze you. There are steps of tshuva. There are steps of making amends. There are ways to move ahead. You did it. You're fine, he says. God wants you. And maybe you could even read, maybe this is too close a read of the Ramban, but maybe specifically because you sinned, you're a good emissary because you understand what the people need. You are the ones who are bringing atonement for them. You understand them. You are the perfect shaliach tzibur. You're the perfect emissary for them. Had you not sinned, had you not had this over your head, you couldn't possibly relate to them. And you have to relate to them in order to be an emissary. And so not only is it okay, but maybe specifically because you fell, you are the right person for the job. So that is the third interpretation of the Ramban. Now, there's a fourth interpretation, which is very similar to the first one, but let's read it. So this one explains Aaron's vision, his vision of the ox. And now comes along the final one, va'acherim nefarshim. I'll highlight this one in purple, so you see where it is, va'acherim nefarshim. Others explain, we don't know who the others are in this case. Others explain, shaya ha-satan mar'et lokein. This was not Aaron's guilty conscience, but rather Satan, who was showing Aaron this image in his head. Kemosha Amrusham, as the sages stated in an earlier midrash, Aaron achi af al pi shenitratse Hashem lechaper al avonotecha. Moshe told Aaron, even though God has accepted to grant atonement for your sin, right? Nonetheless, sarich ata litein letoch piv shel satan shema yastincha beviatcha l'mikdash. You must put something into the mouth of the satan to seal it shut in case he brings an accusation against you when you enter into the Beit HaMikdash. So in this case, it's the satan who was attempting to interfere with Aaron's ability to achieve atonement. Aaron's asked to do something even greater. He's asked not only to get by his own guilt, now has to find a way to explain and to defend himself. It's one thing to accept that God has forgotten you, but you now have to be able to say why you yourself should be forgotten. That's another level of therapy, right? First, we go to therapy to just not feel guilty. And then we go to therapy to say, maybe I'm not so bad after all, right? And here's why I'm not so bad after all, right? And that's what's going on here. You have an external Satan, an external force, and this external force needs to be shut down. And the only one really to do it is Aaron himself. It is very similar to the first one, except that in the first case, it's Aaron himself. In the second one, it's this external Satan that is causing Aaron his hesitation, if you will, and he has to do something proactive in order to dig himself out of the hole. Right? But there was this external source, and Aaron not only had to believe in himself, he had to be able to verbalize to the court why he should not be held guilty for that anymore. It's one thing to believe something. It's an entirely different skill set to be able to verbalize it. And that's what is going on in that last interpretation. So that's it. That's the Ramban for this week. This beautiful insight about the tendency we may have to let our misdeeds paralyze us. And the need to be able to, once we've gone through the steps of making amends and finding forgiveness, to actually be able to forgive ourselves and find the words to explain why we should be forgiven. Beautiful and powerful insight in the Ramban for this week. And with that, I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom, a Shabbat in which we all learn to forgive ourselves and forgive others. And anyone have any comments or questions they'd like to make?
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Neda. Shabbat Shalom to you, Carol. Shabbat Shalom, Chana.
Shabbat Shalom.
In French, a guten Shabbos. Marilyn, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat
Emily,
Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. So glad you all joined. And if I don't see you in shul, I will see you hopefully next week right back here on the same Bat channel, same Ramban channel, same Ramban time, same Ramban channel. All the best, everybody. Shalom uvracha.
Shalom, shalom. Thank you. Shabbat shalom.